Eddie Cantor Show. This is Jimmy Wallace, introducing the Eddie Cantor Show, a half hour of fun and music. And here is the star of our show, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Eddie, what are you laughing at?
Jimmy, the funniest thing is going to take place.
When? Where?
I can't tell you now. Have a little patience.
Oh, please, Eddie, tell me. What is this funny thing that's going to take place?
You'll find out. You'll find out.
When?
When we get to page 16.
I can hardly wait till we get to page 16. But I'm just as anxious to hear the voice of a good friend of yours and mine. Ladies and gentlemen, we turn the clock back to last night. We find our hero, Eddie Cantor, at home in his lounging robe and pajamas, having retired to his quarters. And having counted his quarters, he is preparing to go to bed. And when Eddie Cantor goes to bed... Mr. Cantor, isn't it past your bedtime?
I know, Maurice, but I'm so excited I can't sleep. Imagine J. Edgar Hoover sending me a badge. First thing you know, he'll be making me a G-Man. Isn't it exciting?
Oh, I do think it's exciting, Mr. Cantor. But how long do I have to be strapped in this chair with that sun lamp shining in my face?
I'm just practicing, Maurice, after all. You never know when I may have to third degree someone. At least you could be a good sport about it.
I don't mind being a good sport, Mr. Cantor. But how many times are you going to keep asking me why I committed the Brinks robbery?
Oh, all right. You're free now. Will you get me a glass of warm milk before I go to bed, please?
But you've had 5 glasses of milk already.
I don't care. I got something to celebrate. Tonight I'm going to get homogenized.
Very good, sir.
Gosh. To think I might become a G-Man. Maybe the government would ask me to be a bodyguard for Frank Sinatra. A bodyguard. If only he had a body to guard. Oh, well. Oh, hello, Jimmy.
Hello, Eddie. I got your message to come right over. What's up?
What's up? Look at this badge. My pal, J. Edgar Hoover, might make me a G-Man someday. And not only that, I had lunch with him yesterday and he let me fool around with his handcuffs. You should have seen me. Before I knew it, I had myself handcuffed to the leg of the table.
You handcuffed yourself to the leg of the table? Hey, that is pretty dumb.
I'll say it was dumb. When Mr. Hoover had to pick up the check, I felt terrible.
Yeah, I can imagine. When it comes to handing out money, you've always been handcuffed.
James, what do you mean by that remark?
Well, instead of lending me the money to get my wife a fur coat, you made me buy one on the installment plan. And now that guy from the finance company is practically living with us. It's awful. Eddie, you don't know what it is to have a bill collector living with you.
Don't say that, Jimmy. 3 months before Ida and I got married, I bought the wedding ring in a pawn shop on time. The day of the wedding, the last payment came due, and I couldn't meet it.
Well, you got married anyway, didn't you?
Yes, but with the pawnbroker as best man? I didn't mind that so much. But when the ceremony was over, before he handed the judge the $2, he took out a microscope and started to appraise Ida.
Where did your wedding take place, Eddie?
Jimmy, it's so embarrassing, I hate to tell you. But I'll give you a clue. When I got home, I ran my fingers through my hair, and instead of rice, 3 gold balls fell out.
Enter in his exaggeration. Well, here's a friend with some plain, simple truths.
I always enjoy introducing Patty Lewis because I enjoy the way she sings. And here she is, Patty Lewis.
lucky to be. I've got a man crazy for me. He's funny that way. Can save a dollar, ain't worth a cent. He wouldn't bother, he'd live in a tent. I've got a man crazy for me. He's funny that way. How he loves to work and play for me every day. He'd be so much better. Got a man crazy for me. He's funny that way.
Hey, Jimmy, what would you think if J. Edgar Hoover really made me a G?
Boy, a G-man. You know, Eddie, I could be your assistant. My uncle's with the FBI.
Gosh, your uncle's with the FBI?
Yeah, they picked him up in Mexico.
Oh, forget your uncle. What makes you think you could be a detective?
Well, when I go to see a mystery picture, all I have to do is watch 5 minutes of it, and I can tell you which one is the murderer.
Golly, how are you able to do that?
I come in at the end of the picture.
What's that?
Well, that's my kid. I left him in the next room when I came over.
Well, let's get him. It was Eddie Cantor Wallington Jr. that I wanted to show the badge to. Hello there, little fella. Look at the badge your Uncle Eddie's got. What do you think of that? Your Uncle Eddie, a G-man.
How about that? He's trying to talk. You know, since he's been listening to the radio, he talks much better.
Ugh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful? What's ug, ug?
Well, that's goo, goo spelled backwards.
Well, that's perfectly natural. He has a backward father. Look, he's trying to reach for my badge. I wonder what the baby is thinking about.
Popeye says he's a G-man. How could he ever get this man? Been married 41 years and he can't even get his boy. When he showed me his G-man badge, he was so proud. He threw out his chest so far, it almost touched his shirt. Gee, Popeye's getting a badge from the FBI. Last week he got an honorary badge from the fire department. Week before, he got a badge from the post office department. I know why they keep pinning things on him. It's the only way they can hold him together. I must be a G-man. Every morning when my mommy comes to my crib, she says, Junior G.
Ladies and gentlemen, you too will be inclined to say gee when you hear the next bit of good news. Mr. Cantor, everyone has gone home. I do think you ought to try to get some sleep.
I'll try, Maurice. But I'm so excited about my badge.
Before you retire, sir, let's have a go at those wrinkles.
Well, when you cream my face tonight, Maurice...
Yes?
Not too heavy on the cold cream. Last night I kept sliding on a bed.
Well, there you are, all set to go to sleep, Mr. Cantor.
Oh, darn it, I forgot to brush my teeth.
Oh, don't bother getting up. I'll brush them and leave them in the pocket of your blue suit.
Good night.
Good night, Mr. Cantor.
Cantor, the G-Man. I wonder if they'd ever make me a real G-Man. Why not? I'm in good shape. I got strong legs. I got muscles. I got good eyes. Hope Maurice remembers to give me back my teeth. Yes, sir. I told them if they called me in on the case.
Hey, Chief. Chief, Washington just called. They want you to track down the gang that's flooding the market with phony nylon stockings. These stockings are worn once, they disintegrate.
Well, we get on it right away, Inspector Wallington. The FBI never sleeps.
Well, the first thing we need, Chief, is a clue. From now on, in the search for nylon stockings, our entire work will be looking at women's legs.
No wonder the FBI never sleeps. I've got another idea, Inspector Wallington. We'll put on these women's clothes. That's what we'll do. We'll go to Schlumpmeyer's lingerie store and try to buy a nylon stocking.
Why don't we take the sunset bus?
Jimmy dressed as women, we'd never get a seat. Well, here we are, Inspector Wallington. Schlumpmeyer's lingerie shop. What do you think we ought to do?
Well, this takes brains. If we can get that pretty sales girl to sell us a pair of nylons, we'll go right in and grab the manager.
Some brains. Pretty sales girl, and you want to grab the manager.
Here she comes.
May I help you, ladies?
Yes. Jimmy and Jenny and I were looking for some stockings.
Yes, I want to get a Mother's Day present for my mother here.
I'm not your mother, Jenny.
Oh, Mother's always trying to hide her age.
If I were you, I'd hide Mother.
How dare you? Young woman, we heard you had those new nylon stockings. And we want to buy a pair.
To buy those nylons, you have to go to the manager's secret office in the basement.
Aha! Uh-huh. We'll arrest the manager. We've cracked the case.
What?
Ah, you thought I was a woman when I came in here.
That was the impression I was under.
Well, I'll take this wig off. See? I'm a man.
That's the impression you're under.
Come on, Inspector Wallington.
I'm willing to bet that if you listen carefully, here's someone who will really impress you.
Here's a tune that's been a favorite for a long time, and here's a favorite singer to bring it to us. Roy Edwards and I Surrender, Dear.
We've played the game of stairway, but it costs more than I can pay. Without you, I can't make my way. I surrender, dear. I may seem proud, I may act gay. It's just a pose. I'm not that way, 'cause deep down in my heart I say, I surrender, dear. Little mean things we were doing must have been part of the game. Lending a spice to the wooing, but I don't care who's to blame. When stars appear and shadows fall, why then you hear my poor heart call to you, my love, my life, my all. I surrender, dear.
cellar is dark.
Now listen, Wallington. From now on, it's dangerous. This cellar is no place for a coward. So if you get frightened...
Yes?
Call this number. I'll be in my office.
You better come with me.
Okay, Wallington. Break down that door.
But, Chief, it's open.
Well, close it and break it down. We're the police.
Hey, look. There on the floor, the manager's body. He's dead.
Yes, he's dead.
Hey, Chief, what was that?
I don't know. And don't introduce me. According to this watch on the man's wrist, he died at 6:15.
But what day?
Monday.
Now, how can you tell it was Monday?
He's wearing a calendar on the other wrist. You go upstairs and question that sales girl. And in the meantime, I'll look for a clue.
Okay, Chief.
Well, Jimmy, what did you find out about the sales girl?
I found these letters of hers, and according to these letters, her sweetheart is the head of the phony nylon gang, Rocky Dolan.
Rocky Dolan? Let me go upstairs and give her the third degree.
If we can find Rocky Dolan, we'll break up the whole gang.
He's looking for me.
Rocky Dolan!
In person with a .44 in each hand.
Now, wait a minute, Rocky. Take it easy. Let's not you lose your head.
Let's not you lose your teeth.
Look, Rocky. Why did you kill a manager at Slump Myers Lingerie Shop?
Because he threatened to go to the cops when I made him let me use his store as a front for my phony nylon.
Well, Dolan, you've confessed, and I demand your unconditional surrender.
You what? Why, I'll...
Don't worry, Jimmy. I got him covered. Rocky, I demand your unconditional surrender as J. Eddie Cantor of the FBI.
Read all about it. Rocky Dolan surrenders unconditionally.
Gee, that Associated Press works fast.
Hey, Chief, he switched out the light. He's not going to surrender. He's going to start shooting.
Jimmy, he got me. I've been shot. I've been shot.
Wake up, Mr. Cantor.
Huh? Wait a minute. Oh, Maurice. This is terrible. I've been shot. I was running. A Rocky Dolan shot me when I wasn't even looking.
Mr. Cantor, roll over on your stomach.
Why?
You haven't been shot. Your G-Man badge is pinned to the seat of your nightshirt.
What if J. Edgar Hoover saw me with my G-Man badge pinned to the seat of my nightshirt? What do you suppose he would think?
Well, Mr. Cantor, there are all kinds of G-men.
Good night, Maurice.
Good night, Mr. Cantor.
You know, friends, dreaming can be fun. But in these days of budget worries, it's fun to have someone to tell you how to save. Listen. Eddie Cantor and his show business personality of the day.
Thank you, James. Many years ago at a midnight supper, I asked Jack Benny what made him turn to comedy. I thought he was joking when he said it was Yasha Heifetz, until he explained to me that as a youngster in Waukegan, Illinois, Jack actually had visions of becoming a serious violinist until, one night, he heard Yasha Heifetz play. I realized then and there that the only way I could make a living out of the violin, said Jack, was to play on street corners. And it gets so cold in the winter. When I told Yasha Heifetz recently that he had made a comedian out of Jack Benny, he smiled and said, Eddie, do you think I should sue him for commission? I don't think my statement that Yasha Heifetz is the greatest violinist living will start any controversy. At 8, he was touring all over Russia. Many years later, in New York City, he told Harpo Marx that from the age of 7, he was self-supporting. Harpo sneered. And I suppose before that, you were just a bum, huh? It must be so satisfying to possess artistry that evokes the same sort of enthusiasm from audiences at Covent Gardens in London, Carnegie Hall in New York City, and the Tel Aviv Auditorium in the State of Israel. What a God-given power to reach the hearts of people with music, to stir them so emotionally that one refugee said to me in Jerusalem several summers ago, Mr. Cantor, I heard Yasha Heifetz play one night, and would you believe that in 2 hours, he made me forget 3 years in a concentration camp.
What have you selected to sing for us, Eddie?
A little number, Jimmy, for which I've had a lot of requests. After You've Gone.
After you've gone, and left me crying. After you've gone, there's no denying. You'll feel blue, you'll feel sad. You'll miss the dearest pal you ever had. There'll come a time, and don't forget it. There'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine and you'll want me only. After you've gone, after you've gone away. There'll come a time, now don't forget it. There'll come a time when you'll regret it. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine and you'll want me only. After you've gone, after you have gone away.
Eddie will be back right after this message from our sponsors. Now, here's the man who pays me my salary. Salary?
Jimmy, I'm sure, is kidding, but I'm not. When I tell you it's fun for us spending this half hour with you, do make it a habit. We'll be coming back again with 30 minutes of songs and laughs. And until we do, remember...
when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, yes, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. So till the next time, be full of good cheer. I hope the next time I'll meet you right here and keep you smiling. 'Cause when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.